Welcome to the Sportscast, November 8th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all of our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening to iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. Thank you. College football is gearing towards the end. College basketball has started. And what's left for the Oregon Ducks? To join us today is Mr. Ty Turner. Welcome to the Sportscast.
So, man, how are you doing?
So, Ty, the Oregon Ducks, you know, they won this past weekend. It feels like, you know, they're over that hurdle, those two past previous weekends where they lost pretty bad. How do you see this game that they just won?
Oh, first off, I thought you told me today we're going to talk politics on here. I'm just kidding.
It's not a politics show, but but I'll save your story till the end.
I sent you a message saying that. Yeah, I really do need to get a political show. To what we were talking about, Oregon. This is what I'll say about Oregon, and I've gone back to my what has happened this year is kind of what I actually subconsciously thought was going to happen. I thought this was a team that it's some of the worst depth for a Power Five school actually out there, and especially how recruiting and with the three coaching changes.
Oh, sorry guys. Let me get back with Tyler. I don't know. I'm going to reconnect with them. Once again, we're talking about Oregon Ducks beating UCLA.
Hello?
Hey, Tyler, sorry the connection went off, but yeah, continue. Oregon beat UCLA 42-21. UCLA is Chip Kelly, and they're a basketball school, not a football school.
Okay, well, that's not what I was talking about. Anyway, going back to where did I get cut off? I don't know where I was.
I don't know. I think you were saying that Oregon was going through an interesting path. You thought, you know, they were in like the top 10.
No, I did not say that.
Something like that.
That's not what I said. You're making crap up, San Diego. I'm just going to go back to the beginning. I don't know where I got cut off.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I said, no, subconsciously, I knew that Oregon this year, I think what happened is people got expectations really high because of how they started. You know, they looked great against Stanford despite the last-minute meltdown that lost them the game. They then went and beat Washington. They played two very, very big national televised games. I think they both were the best games that weekend, if I remember correctly. But the fact is Oregon has been through three coaching changes in three seasons. There's a real depth issue. I think the coaching changes made them not be able to fill up as I know, because mostly you want to hit 25 guys a year when you sign a signing class. So every year when you sign a recruiting class, you want to hit that kind of number. I don't believe they've hit that number for like 4 years. And to go along with that, they've had even more attrition problems than most schools, attrition meaning transfers or academic casualties or discipline casualties or medical casualties, if you understand. Every school is going to have transfers. Every school is going to have guys that leave because they're not getting enough playing time or because of discipline issues. So it's going to happen. But Oregon had more than most schools, and because of all the coaching changes, they have not been able to fill up the necessary numbers for the classes. So right now, what they're dealing with is numbers issues. And what happened at about the Washington game was they started having injuries to key players, like starting left tackle, freshman All-American Penei Sewell is out for the season. They also now have linebacker Kalanu Apelo, a senior linebacker. He's out for the season. The first game of the season, they lost starting tight end Cam McCormick for the season. But when you start adding all those injuries and you just don't have depth, they don't have – their backups aren't as good as the starters. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Correct, yeah.
So when they lost the starter, they're losing the guy they're putting in for him is considerably not as good. And that's what started happening. To go along with, you know, a young team, most of the guys that are the best players in the team are freshmen and sophomores, and it's going to even be more so next year. Like, so people need to pump the brakes on Oregon. Like, for instance, this year, they're going to end up probably about 8-4 and end up in maybe like something like the Holiday Bowl. And it's hopefully win that game. Next year, if they lose Herbert, which I still think Justin Herbert should leave, I really think Justin Herbert would make a huge mistake by coming back.
I agree.
I'm actually thinking more and more it is, because I don't think they're going to be good enough next year, because next year most of the talent on the team is going to be freshmen and sophomores. You're not going to win big with freshmen and sophomores. This is, he's not coming back for a playoff contender. He's coming back for a playoff, for another 8-4 team. And then he's then next year going against Tua Talavega, who maybe will have won 3 straight national titles at Alabama. He'll be going against Jake Fromm, who maybe has been going to make 1, 2, 3 playoff appearances. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to be like, it's going to be hard. I think they're going to go for those guys over Herbert, because just because of the results on the field. I mean, you look at other tangibles like size, arm strength, and stuff that Herbert has more so than those two. But you also look at victories, wins, losses. I mean, you have to look at that. You cannot deny it.
Yeah.
Look at Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is short. He doesn't have an incredible arm. He's not even that ridiculous of an athlete. He really doesn't have great measurables. But the guy won. He won 3 Big 12 titles. He had 2 playoff appearances. He was a Heisman finalist 3 years in a row. He was a Heisman winner. Ultimately, he went over guys that, if you go with a measurable route, were way better than him. Josh Allen had a bigger arm, was a bigger guy, stronger, ran faster. I mean, he's 5 inches taller and 30 pounds bigger, and he ran like 2/10 faster in the 40. So if you go by measurables, Josh Allen would have been picked above him. Sam Darnold would have been picked above him. Josh Rosen would have. But they went with Baker Mayfield because Baker Mayfield was a winner. Well, if Kerber comes back, he's having to go against Tua Talavega, and he's having to go against Jake Fromm, who are going to be winners. Therefore, he could find himself falling way down. He could possibly, and so this year it's a terrible class. There is no proven winners. Drew Lock, he's not a winner.
That's it.
I'm not going to say he's a terrible quarterback, but Ryan Finley is. What has he ever won? Anything in particular? I mean, yeah, they've won 7-8 games. Now the one is Will Grier, but then Will Grier is really significantly not as talented as Herbert. Will Grier is a winner. He was terrific at Florida, transferred to West Virginia. Look how West Virginia's done. If he leads West Virginia to the Big 12 title, and if he leads West Virginia to college football playoff, I definitely think he'll be the first quarterback drafted in a Herbert-less draft. But if you put Herbert in that draft, I still think Herbert gets picked just because he's physically just a lot more talented, much better arm talent, much better overall athlete, much bigger, like bigger frame, everything. I think you'd go. But I'm telling you, next year, I think Talladega and Fromm get drafted above Herbert.
Yeah, I
do. Because you're not going to be, and I think it's more than anything just because of the results you're going to see on the field. Do I think Talladega, and especially Fromm, do I think they're going to be better pro quarterbacks? No, I don't, actually. I think Herbert's going to be, especially than Fromm. I just think he's a lot more physically talented than Fromm. Remember, much better arm. And Fromm's good. Fromm's a very consistent quarterback. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's very accurate. But I don't think he's a great talent. Talavega is a little more so because he's just so skilled. He's a lot like a Marcus Mariota. I said that in Sportscast. But Herbert, he's coming back for a team that the Ducks aren't making the playoff next year. I'm going to actually make that prediction right now. They're not making the playoff next year because almost all their best players are freshmen and sophomores. And there's a good possibility that their other best players are either going to be graduating this year or they're going to be leaving early. I guess if every single person came back, Justin Herbert, they have 2 offensive linemen who are draft prospects, so Shane Lemieux and Calvin Brock Martin. They have a linebacker, Troy Dye, who's a prospect. If every single one does not declare and comes back, there's a possibility that Oregon could compete for the Pac-12 title because they have everyone coming back. They have a much tougher schedule, but because they have everyone coming back, they had a talented top 15 recruiting class last year. They currently have the number three class in America, and actually they're trending towards the number one player in the country signing this year. So they could probably going to end up with a top five class this year. So they'll have two talented classes plus a lot of the really good players coming back. If all of that works out, then maybe. But I'm telling you, let's say Herbert comes, but the other guys declare, then you're basically having Herbert with a bunch of talented freshmen and sophomores. And I just think that young kids will make mistakes in big games on the road, especially that I think they lose 2, 3, maybe 4 games. And so, and Herbert then is analyzed by having a career record of, I don't know, he's won 4 games as a freshman, 7, however he meant this year, but he'll have a lot of losses on his record, never a Pac-12 title. And I think when it comes to the resumes of a Fromm and Talvega, whether people want to admit it or not, it does make a difference. So, yeah. Long story short, I don't even know. I just went on a rant.
You're saying that Oregon is heading in the right direction, pretty much.
You got that from that? I think. I mean, talent wise, like for instance, they brought in a top 15 recruiting class by all the services last year. And then they right now currently have a top five class by all the services, 2 by Rivals, 3 by ESPN, 4 by 247 Sports. I mean, you bring those couple classes together, they're going to have the most talented roster probably in the Pac-12. And so, yeah, they're going to be more talented than anyone. Now, you still have to do it on the field. Look at Florida State, look at USC. Those teams both have very talented rosters, and they're terrible. You still gotta be able to go out there and perform. Just because you have tons of talent doesn't make victories. But you look at the Clemsons, you look at the Alabamas, you look at the Oklahomas, and they all have very talented teams, and they obviously are able to develop it and make the results happen on the field. So as long as they keep on recruiting at this level, I think they're going to be pretty good because I think there's some very solid coaches on the staff. But that being said, I do not think necessarily next year is the year, unless they could be a contender if literally every single guy who can declare does not declare. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that none of them are going to declare.
How about Washington State? Do you think they have future in the Pac-12?
What do you mean? They're in the Pac-12?
Yeah. I mean, do you think they'll be a top team in the Pac-12 in the upcoming years because of their performance after the season?
You know what? I think they're hard to project talent-wise. They're one of the they are actually per the 247. Team talent composite, they are the second least talented team in the Pac-12.
But they're doing
well, though. The second lowest recruit. I know. Mike Leach gets guys for a system. He's a great coach. He's able to utilize it. I don't. I think he's always going to be a step behind because you can't – if someone is not big, someone's not fast, if someone's not strong enough, no matter how much you develop them, you're not going to be able to win – big with lesser talent. I mean, it's proven.
One of our commentators says Gardner is the best Pac-12 quarterback. He's not best for NFL talent quarterback in the conference. Whatever that means.
I love when people say that. And why don't you go look at Mike Leach's quarterbacks all the way back to Texas Tech? Why don't you go look at Cliff Kingsbury? Why don't you go look at – I can't even think of all the names right now, but all of Mike Leach's quarterbacks have literally been the top passer in the nation when he's coaching them. He runs an air raid system that literally gives layups to his quarterbacks. As long as you're able to accomplish his system, he is an offensive genius. there, one of the brilliant minds, remember, he came from how he started under Hal, he played, he coached under Hal Mumme over at Kentucky. He was one of the innovators of the air raid, went to Oklahoma, was the offensive coordinator for Bob Stoops. Remember when they had guys like, White, who won a Heisman Trophy, and I forget names offhand, but wherever Mike Leach has been, the quarterbacks have been the best, have put up the best numbers in college football. It's his system. Do I think Garner Minshew, if you put him in Oregon system, do I think he'd, no, he would be terrible.
One of the commentators says numbers don't lie.
They do lie. Your commentator doesn't know X's and O's of college football. I'm sorry, I'm going to call the commentator out. I don't know who it is, so I'm not looking at it, so I don't know who it is. They don't know college football. They don't. X's and O's, if you have a coach that is able to scheme his system open, the same with Chip Kelly back when he had quarterbacks. Darren Thomas was his quarterback. Darren Thomas never played one down in the NFL. Didn't even get drafted in the NFL. Darren Thomas put up ridiculous numbers. Vernon Adams, who never played a down in the NFL, when he was the quarterback after Marcus Mariota under Mark Helfrich, he put up ridiculous numbers. You look at certain systems and how they're originating and how they are able to systematically get guys open. They're able to scheme guys open. There is certain coaches systems that are able to do that. And you look at so a guy like Mike Leach, you look at a guy like Art Briles, another guy who was able to do it. Kendall Briles, the son of Art Briles, Chip Kelly, they are able to have quarterbacks have ridiculous numbers when it really is more system and scheme than it is actually the quarterback.
To all the listeners and viewers, Gardner is a quarterback for the Washington State Cougars, and he's only 22 years old. I guess he might enter the draft, but maybe not. We'll see.
No, he's a grad. No, he is. He's a transfer.
Okay.
He's done. He's eligible. Yeah, he transferred from East Carolina. No, Gardner Minshew is not. He's never not going to play down in the NFL. Name me another Texas Tech guy who's been anything in the NFL. Tell your listener that. Tell me a Texas Tech guy who put up ridiculous numbers. Go do the research. Don't be sloppy. You're going to make a statement. Go be sloppy. Go do the research. Go see how the Texas Tech quarterbacks did under Mike Leach. See the numbers that they put up, and then see how they did in the NFL. I'll listen. They can show me the numbers.
He does say that he has the best mustache in college football.
Who is this person? Do I know this person?
Yeah, you do. It's Krista.
Tell Krista.
He might be trolling. I don't know.
Sorry, Krista.
Anyways, let's move on to college football. What'd you think?
He's still wrong, though.
Okay.
Anyway, well, we're not done with college. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to segue to LSU-Alabama. We have to hear your opinion over that game.
I don't think Alabama's very good this year, actually.
Oh, come on.
No, they're not. They're just doing it. They don't have the talent at the position. They don't have receivers. They're terrible.
You know,
these guys can't get open. Tua Talavega could hit the broadside of a bar. And the defense, it's like a sieve that you just run through and score. I'm just kidding. It's stupid.
But,
anyways, it's
ridiculous.
Know,
one positive thing about LSU.
Jerry Jeudy's a cheat code. Freaking Jerry, I didn't realize he was so good. The offensive line, Jonah Williams is the best offensive lineman. And that's not even counting Jaderic Willis, who's awesome, and Alex Leatherwood. And then you got Tua Talavega. And then you got Najee Harris. Najee Harris is probably the most talented running back in college football. And he's a backup. You got Damian Harris, who just rolls people. Then you got defensive lineman Williams, the redshirt sophomore, might be the best defensive lineman. They were talking about how Clemson had the best defensive lineman. You got Raekwon. Is it Rickon Davis or Smith? I'm forgetting. Raekwon.
Savon Smith. Yeah.
No, Savon Smith is not a defensive lineman.
Okay, hold on.
No, it's Raekwon Davis, I believe, is the other defensive lineman. But then you have that Williams kid,
yeah,
who is just – I saw him in the LSU. I saw a breakdown of like 10 plays with him. He was literally unguardable. He was literally manhandling double teams. oh my God, how can you sign? And then Dylan Moses is a great linebacker. This is one of the top players and recruits in the nation coming out of high school. They are incredible. They are unbeatable. They will not lose this year.
You think, okay, here's my argument about this.
Don't even watch college football. They're not going to lose.
One positive.
No, Clemson's not going to beat them.
Even though Alabama won 29-0 convincing, I do think LSU defense did slow Alabama down a little bit. You think so?
No, only okay. From what I saw of the game, remember it was Andre Dorgan, but I did see some of it and I saw highlights and clips. The only person who I actually was a little bit like, I thought, for instance, if a scout looked at that game where the talent was a little more able to light up, and he made a couple really ill advised decisions, was actually Tua. I think that was probably a game that scouts watched and they're like, oh, these guys actually are able. You have Greedy Williams, you have Evan White in the second half, you have Lance Gilpin. If you're able to see how they were able to cover and then some of the decisions he made under those circumstances, and you're like, well, when he goes to the NFL and he is like the quarterback of the New York Giants, and he's getting pressured, and his guys aren't open. Is he going to make that decision that caused either a really poor interception or a really bad completion? I think that was probably not the game that Tua Tagovailoa would want scouts to look at.
Oh no!
But other than that, Alabama looks great. I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, they're great on both sides of the ball. And I don't know, they will not be beaten. But, yeah, for him, I think that would be a game that the scouts would look at and be like, wow, if he goes to the NFL and those guys are getting matched up, if he makes that decision, he's not going to be successful. And I think Tua still is battling stuff. There's a few things Tua is battling. He's not big. He's small. And whether they admit it, like, ultimately, that does normally cause a little concern, meaning smaller guys are just not able to sit back there. And smaller guys, you know what I'm saying? Because there's literally a measurable issue going on. There's literally a measurable issue of like, you're just smaller. I mean, and I know, look at the career of a Drew Brees. Look at the career of a Russell Wilson. Look at the career of guys who are not physical and imposing. But at the end of the day, it does cause a little concern. They do have to have some outside-the-box abilities that make people want to take a flyer on them, because people will all go with a little safer guy if the opportunity arises. So I think that's the only question I'd have from that game is, were some of those decisions by Tua, would they be kind of, would scouts kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
Questionable. Anyways, I'm going to read you the top 10 of the college football rankings. Number one is Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, University of Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, West Virginia, and Ohio State. How do you view the top 10?
You know, the committee does a pretty good job. I do. I didn't do the top 25, but I a couple things that I did not necessarily agree with is, for one, they had Oregon's not rated in the top 25, but then they had other teams that were 6-3 that had some really bad losses at 6-3 in the top 25. Michigan State's in the top 25.
Mississippi State.
I don't know how Michigan State's in the top 25. Mississippi State's in the top 25. I mean, some of these teams had some pretty bad losses. And I thought Kentucky's too high. Kentucky should have dropped more. Kentucky's not very good. They're a team that
they're a basketball school.
They're a good team. They have a good two losses, but I've seen them offensively. They're pretty much never going to get. I think is A&M still in there, and A&M has four losses, and they're still in the top 24. But so I don't know. Some of that confused me. Of the top 10, I'd say, you know, who really has a chance? I mean, Notre Dame did lose their starting quarterback, and Florida State's horrible, but they are playing without the starting quarterback. Ian Brooke is out, so it's going to be Brandon Wimbush. I've kind of remained consistent in my narrative that I think Notre Dame's going to lose. I think, I don't know, Florida State's so bad. I don't know if they're going to, but I think Syracuse could beat them. At Syracuse, number 13 team in the nation, which I think is a little high, by the way, but they could beat them. They could beat them. And then you never know with the USC and the rivalry game. So I think Notre Dame loses. Will that knock them out of the college football playoffs? It depends, because I don't think Georgia's beaten Alabama, so they're going to have two losses. LSU only dropped to seventh.
That's not bad.
I don't know about that.
That's not a bad drop for them.
They lost. Yeah, I know. They lost on the road to Florida. They got goose-egged at home. I know, against a great Alabama team. But I don't know. I think they're going to lose A&M, too, on the road. I think they're a 9-3 team. I don't think they will. If Washington State did win out, if Notre Dame loses, I don't know if they jump them, but, you can have Georgia lose. Someone's going to lose Michigan-Ohio State game. I believe it's in Ohio State. So
it is.
I don't know. There's still a lot of games left in the season.
A lot of question marks. Which I'm with Riley. I think you should wait until after the conference games. I mean, conference championship games.
To do the college football playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, just to determine the rankings. Those, I mean, after the conference championship games, we'll have more of a clarity.
Yeah, but it doesn't give people talking points, doesn't get people's interest. That's kind of he's kind of looking from a selfish narrative. I'm sorry. Sometimes coaches, it's no, and I know, because I came from a family of coaches. My uncle's been a head coach. He's a head coach out in Texas. They live in their own little world, their own little bubble, and it's great for them. But I'm sorry, a lot of coaches tend to be very self-centered. They literally don't know what else is going on except for on the phone. So basically, and sometimes they're well, I want this way. Well, cool. That's good for you. But there's also fans. There's also a lot of people that have garnered interest. There's also the media that's able, and that's what makes your sport successful, is because of the viewership. Take away the viewership and your sport's not successful. So sometimes I want to say to coaches, it's like, oh, good, I'm glad you think that way, but honestly, you don't live in a reality. So that's all good and dandy that Lincoln Riley needs to think that way, but honestly, I don't know how to say this any other way, but he needs to shut the hell up, as do most coaches. Because when it comes to it, they're good at coaching, but when it comes to promoting and stuff, the brand, they would never be able to promote the brand. So just shut up and coach.
Anyways, that is the college football rankings. Let's talk about Duke backs. Talk about Duke. Some college basketball, and your team Duke. They beat Kentucky 118-84. Is Duke your favorite team, or do you think they'll win it? Or
well, I wouldn't say no. Gonzaga is my favorite. I'm a Gonzaga fan.
Okay.
But have I always liked Coach K, and have I always kind of been if Duke's going against most teams, I usually root for them? Yes. But yeah, they're really good this year.
Typically the contenders, aren't they? They're
typically the contenders, but this year in particular, they might have the two best players that have come out of college basketball in the last 5 years. I think these are two guys that are going to be not just stars this year, but they're going to be stars in the NBA. RJ Barrett is just a terrific offensive talent. I mean, the guy kind of can get 30 in his sleep. I don't know if you saw him, but, and he's just great. I mean, whether it's handling, driving, getting to the rack, shooting, he's probably could work on shooting a little bit, but it also has a playmaker. And then Zion Williams, my gosh, he's one, probably the most athletic individual to come out of high school basketball since LeBron James. 45-inch vertical leap at 6'7", 285, reminds me of a young Charles Barkley. And but he can also, he's a great ball handler. He can pass. He can even shoot a little. And then he's a freak athlete that's a highlight waiting to happen. He's going to win five dunk contests. he's Blake Griffin would probably be a decent one. You go Charles Barkley, but he's absolutely terrific. So they're going to be the top two guys drafted. I mean, I don't think there's really any argument to that, and they're on the same team. So just those two, and you're not even counting Jones, who's probably going to be a lottery pick, and then Cameron Reddish, who who a lot of years would be maybe the number one pick. The guy can shoot. He's a big guy that can also play inside, but can really shoot on the outside. So you have probably four lottery picks that are true freshmen there, two guys that are probably maybe the two of the best high school guys in the last 5 years. Man, you have Coach K as your coach. I don't know if anyone's beating Duke this year, to be honest with you. I just don't. I mean, they're freshmen, you never know, and the injuries, you never know. But if they look like they did, they literally blew Kentucky out of the park. I mean, that game, it looked like basically college kids playing against high school kids. It was an embarrassment. So, and they're good. 118 points in a college game. And Zion Williamson, Jones, Cameron Reddish, and R.J. Barrett scored more as four people than the whole Kentucky team. They're really good.
They're a force to be reckoned really with. Good. And let me read you the college rankings.
They are the force.
For basketball, first Kansas, Kentucky, Gonzaga, Duke, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, UNC, Villanova, and Michigan State. Those are pretty much the usuals. Nevada, I don't really recognize them.
Yeah, Nevada's kind of out there.
Yeah.
There's some big tournaments. I believe Kansas and Duke play this Friday, don't they? Don't Kansas and Duke play this Friday?
They don't. Duke's next game is against Army this Sunday. So.
Well, they don't play Kansas?
Let me double check on their schedule.
Are you sure about that?
According to Dougal, Kansas. Wait, there might be. Hold on.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Right. No, they don't.
They're too heavyweights. It's too early to face them off.
Oh, okay. But then. And there's that tournament, I think it's out in Hawaii, where they will, sometimes I don't think they match if you play in a tournament. That's why I wonder, maybe they are playing Kansas. Hold on, let me look at this quickly.
Go ahead.
Because sometimes if it's a tournament, because there's a one tournament that they're in, and I know Gonzaga's in it, and so they're saying that maybe Gonzaga and them could meet up. And I think Gonzaga's a good team this year. I really think that... I really do. I think Gonzaga
will go deep.
I think Gonzaga has some very good players, and I think Mark Few does a good job of developing people, and especially when he gets guys a couple years in the program. They get the experience and playing well together, which can never be minimalized. Remember, despite how talented R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, Cameron Reddish, and that crew is, they are just true freshmen. And sometimes maybe if they are in the playoff or in a NCAA tournament and they're playing against a group of guys that have been playing together 2-3 years like Kansas and Gonzaga have, maybe things start going bad and have enough time together to be able to work through that. But on just straight talent, no one's going to beat Duke. It really would have to be where their youth came up and lost in the game. Which could happen, so it's possible. But I don't know. You have Coach K, who's the best coach probably other than John Wooden in the history of basketball as your coach. That's going to be kind of tough. Yeah. So when you have the best coach ever, or second best, best coach today, second best ever, playing with the best talent in college football, that's not football. College basketball, I think that's a pretty good recipe to say that they're going to be pretty successful this year.
Well, there you
have it.
You never know.
Basketball has upsets more than any other.
Yeah.
I would, if you're going to say, do I think someone could beat Duke? I would be much more willing to wager $100 on that than someone beating Bama.
Nevada can beat Duke.
I mean, they're probably not going to beat them, but the thing is they can because it's basketball.
Yeah, it's basketball. It's the way it's played anyways.
Yeah.
We'll be talking more college basketball throughout the season. It's just the beginning. Ty was a huge March Madness guy back in March. So Ty and Krista are actually two college basketball guys. And Riley actually likes the NIT because that's where Alabama usually goes every year. So he'll talk about the NIT, and we'll leave Tyler with college basketball March Madness. Anyways, we're going to close out our show. Ready for game predictions. Let's start. This first start off with Michigan State at Ohio State.
Ohio State, man. But actually, we didn't even get to talk about that. But Nebraska, I need to talk about Nebraska sometime because I was a childhood Nebraska fan. Nebraska is really good.
Yeah,
they almost they gave them a good game. Ohio State.
Ohio State wins at the horseshoe. Auburn at Georgia.
Georgia. I know you're in a hurry, so just go through.
No, it's okay. I mean, I got like another 10 minutes, so we have some more padding. I like to, have some more wiggle room. Clemson at Boston College.
You know what? This game is a game of the week. It's game day is there.
Yeah.
It's I do think Clemson wins, but I really liked Loeffler as the OC at Boston College. They play very good at home, and he does a great job of scheming his guys open. I think he's one of the better X's and O's coaches out there. So I think they're going to be able to do some things, especially at home, but I do think Clemson's too talented. But I think it's going to be a little better than you think. I think there's some good players in the defense of Boston College, and I think he's able to work with the talent he has and make some plays. And A.J. Dillon's a stud. He's one of the best running backs in college football. I think it's closer than most people think it will be, but I think Clemson will win.
Yeah, this is big. I mean, it's probably one of their last big games before the end of the regular season, so Clemson has to, clinch this.
Yep.
South Carolina at Florida.
Florida's not looking very good.
And they're ranked.
I'm gonna go with Florida at home, but they're not looking great. They've kind of done an Oregon. I think there's a depth issue going on there because coaching changes and stuff too. So I think it's kind of similar to Oregon. So I think that's what's happened with Florida. They played well early. Some injuries happened. They're ranked too high. I think they're 15th. They should not be 15th. Florida should. I technically don't think they should be in the top 25.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
They are.
Yeah.
So. It's ridiculous. They're 15th. They've had three losses, including getting whooped by Missouri, who's not even a top 25 team. There's some of that I don't agree with. Some of the rankings I really didn't agree with. But anyway.
And this could be a big game. Mississippi State at Alabama.
Alabama.
Okay.
Nick Fitzgerald is terrible. He literally can't pass. He's a runner. He's a running back.
Yeah. Would you rest Tua for this game?
Is he really hurting again?
I don't know. They don't really indicate anything out of that camp.
No. You just never know. Bringing a backup, and I don't think Hurts is completely healthy.
No.
He had an ankle thing.
Yeah.
So, or knee thing or something. So I don't know. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, and like the next game is Citadel, which I think you're able to start like the third string. I mean, I'm sure he'd be fine there.
Oh, that one you could. Yeah. You don't rest him against the State. It could throw things off, and there could be it could make things problematic. No.
And finally, Oregon at Utah.
You know what? If you would have asked me this game last week, I would have said Utah. Utah was rolling. Utah was playing well. It was at home. Oregon's not played good at home. Too many injuries happened. But Tyler Huntley got injured. The quarterback for Utah. They actually lost Arizona State. The backup is a freshman. He played like a freshman. And I just think when you put in a true freshman, it happened to any team, unless he's just a complete stud, it's just a different game. And you have Pac-12 people and defenders. And it's hard to come in there and win an in-conference game when you haven't played all year and you're a freshman. Therefore, I actually think Oregon wins.
Oregon wins in Utah.
Working out very good for them.
Very West
Coast. It's because of the injury to the true freshman. I don't think they would have won otherwise. I think Oregon got lucky, and that might. You know what? Oregon, despite all the injuries, despite losing complete momentum, they get a Utah without their starting quarterback. They then get Arizona State at home, and Utah and Oregon's very good at home, 11-2 over the last 2 years. And then they play a very bad Oregon State team on the road. They could finish 9-3. Despite losing all the momentum and having all these injuries, they could still end up 9-3. So
And we'll squeeze in the NFL game, Cowboys at Eagles.
Give me Green Bay, too.
Okay.
I'll do Eagles.
And the Dolphins
Who's
go.
Green Bay play?
What was that?
The Dolphins go to Green Bay, right?
Yeah, Dolphins are going to Green Bay. Ooh. This is.
I think Green Bay comes back. I think Green Bay, you know, they have played very well against the Rams, lost that game. Played pretty well for three quarters against New England until that fumble when they were driving to go ahead. I do think it's the last straw for Mike McCarthy, and I'm glad he should be fired. I'm so happy when he gets fired. I'm going to throw a party at my house. but I think they're getting, you know, they have to pretty much, they're right now 3-4-1. They pretty much have to be about 6-2 to get in the playoff. So they pretty much have to go on a very good run. Luckily, no one's really running away with the North. Minnesota is in first, but Minnesota's not, you know, they're
it's
only
a
like
weak
game
first
and a half
place.
Ahead of the.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weak. So if they go 6-2, especially if they go 7-1, they'll win the division. If they go 6-2, they have a chance of winning division, especially if they beat Lions, Bears, and Vikings. 8-7-1, they're not going to make playoffs. So they got to go 6-2 or better for the last 8 games to make playoffs. But they can. You know why they can? They have Aaron Rodgers. If they didn't have Aaron Rodgers, no, they're going to be about 1-7. They're going to be having a top-10 pick. So there's still a chance.
And what are your thoughts about Dez Bryant going to the Saints? Real quick.
I don't like him, but I don't really have an opinion. I think he's a locker room nightmare. But
he's a cancer. Anyways.
He's literally a cancer. Okay.
Tyler, how can people reach you online?
Tyler Turner, MPLS. Right now I'm posting a lot on politics. Do not judge me.
Yes, you had a skirmish this past week, haven't you?
The Democratic platform is godless. I have another one coming up today. So.
Okay, Ty Turner, follow him on Twitter. Tyler Turner, MPLS, politics, sports, or whatever you want. He's the go-to guy. Tyler, appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.